been better. How you doing, Tony?
I'm doing fine. We had reporters at the meeting last night, so I have an idea what went on, but I want you to just tell us what you heard and what you saw at last night's meeting. Of course, we're talking about the Armory and a deal that you had thought was done, and then at the last minute, Derek Quinney, a city councilman, wanted to add some stipulations to the deal. Tell us what happened at last night's Lansing City Council meeting.
Well, to be honest with you, I'm still trying to figure out what happened. This is, you know, the marketplace development, the new city market that we approached the city on 2 years ago. You know, we made a development agreement. We gave millions. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, so we gave the city $1.6 million. They built a new market, improved the waterfront, and then we came to them and said, hey, we're ready to put 180 residential units on the water and bring more people downtown to live. There's a dramatic need for more housing downtown. All of our units are full. And we presented a brownfield plan that would basically allow us to utilize the tools they have to help clean up that environmentally contaminated site and get rolling on that development. And they turned it down last night. It's about $22 million worth of work. It's local jobs. It's riverfront development. And they found it in the city's best interest to not have the jobs and not have the riverfront redevelopment, which is mind-boggling to me, and I don't know anybody at the meeting that could figure out what went on, why they turned it down.
So this was a done deal. That's one of the reasons that the city market was moved.
The sole reason it was moved is to accommodate, you know, the hotels and the housing and the offices that were going to go there until last night's meeting. I mean, that's the sole reason the city market was moved. So that's what's even more confusing.
Okay, let's go to the PLA that Derek Quinney, and I want to make it quite clear that we always try to be fair and balanced and get both sides of the story. For 3 days, we have emailed and called Derek Quinney, the Lansing City Council member. We've called his home, his job, and his office at the Lansing City Council offices in downtown Lansing. He has not gotten back with us. We will have Brian Jeffries on the program a little bit later on this morning. But, Pat, in talking about this deal, were you going to use non-union labor? And I imagine that the wages wouldn't have been as high as union wages.
You know what? We made a commitment to use as much local labor as we can, and we're trying to use over 80% local labor. It would be a mix of union and non-union, wide open for anyone that wanted to do the job and bid on it. You know, that was our plan. Last night at the meeting, Mr. Jeffries and Mr. Quinney made reference to a desire to have us use more union labor or all union labor. To date, we've been told 100% union labor or nothing. After repeated negotiations and offering them 50%, we were told if it's not 100%, you might as well kill the project. So to lose this many jobs and over $25 million worth of investment along the river due to someone's desire to pander to a special interest, to me, is mind-boggling in this economy.
Why did this happen at the last minute? Why didn't they bring this up when the deal was first being drafted, and perhaps you wouldn't have had to put all the work that you and the city put into this deal?
You'll have to ask them that, the council members. We've been working on this project for, obviously, over 2 years with the city market. During that construction and during the development, and everyone knew this was coming. Everyone knew that this was the plan, the master plan. We have a signed development agreement with the city that said once the city market's done, the developer will present us a plan for brownfield and start construction, and that's what we wanted to do, and only to be told we're not interested in having it anymore. So we're confused at best.
Pat, what's the percentage difference in wages for union versus non-union labor? If you just had to take a wild guess.
You know what? I don't know. It could be anywhere from 15% to 20%. But here's the biggest problem. You know, we've agreed that Lansing needs to have housing on its waterfront, like Columbus, like Indianapolis, like San Antonio. We have so many office buildings and parking ramps now. So our plan shows housing, bringing people to the river. And there are very few projects, if any, in the state of Michigan or the country, housing projects that are built with a project labor agreement. Not very many unions build housing, so to be mandated to use a project labor agreement for housing is—it's just not done. So to be the guinea pig is not something that interests us in today's financing world. We would never be able to get it done. So
it just means it can't work.
Do you think this is a deal that was planned as far as bringing this up at the last minute?
Oh, clearly it was planned. This is not in the best interest of the city of Lansing, and who it is in the best interest of, you'll have to determine that, but it's not in the best interest of the entire city of Lansing to lose all these jobs and the riverfront development.
We're talking from Pat with Pat Gillespie from the Gillespie Group. You're listening to the Tony Connolly Morning Show on 1320 WILS and worldwide via the internet at 1320WILS.com. Pat, how many jobs are we talking about if this project would have went through?
Oh, we're probably talking 350 to 400 jobs during construction. And then we would have, just on the first phase, first two phases of the project, you'd probably have close to 400 new people living on the river adjacent to the new Accident Fund building, and what that would do for retail and restaurants and other nightlife downtown and retail downtown would be indescribable.
So apparently to the Lansing City Council, it was more important to, I guess, look at the small picture and pay workers a little bit more rather than look at the big picture with all the tax revenues that would be coming in, plus all those dollars that would be going to local businesses to those people who'd be living in those dwellings.
Well, one of the other big things that I guess got unnoticed is that the city is leaving a couple of million dollars on the table. The state has given $1 million grant. That site is environmentally contaminated extensively. The state has come up with $1 million grant to clean up the site as part of this development, and that now goes away because there's no development. So that $1 million the city just lost, and that was free money from the state to clean up the site. And then they're going to give away another $900,000 that was possible to get from the Michigan business tax credits to help encourage the development. So to leave $2 million worth of incentives on the table to help clean up that site and to bring development there, and those are the kind of tools that Columbus and Indianapolis and Grand Rapids and even Kalamazoo and Detroit's riverfront are utilizing every day to encourage development. And for us to turn those tools down and say we're not interested in using them just is confusing in these times to leave a couple of million dollars worth of incentives from the state on the table.
All right, if I was to play devil's advocate and say, all right, Pat, it looks like to me that as opposed to paying union wages, you and your company are getting all these great incentives, and they're going to take a lot of your costs away. And because you are seeking to make such a big profit on this, you're not allowing union wages to be paid to workers, which would be more profitable for them as opposed to non-union wages.
That's a great point. That's why I've reached out and said, gentlemen, let's try to get to 50%, 40% union labor. Let's work together to get this done and have a good mix, because it's not normally used on residential housing. But I made that offer, which some people say is crazy to do. But at each time I've been told 50% is not acceptable. If it's not 100%, then don't bother offering. We'd rather not have jobs than only have 50%. And I don't know how you reason with that. I don't know how I negotiate with that when I've made the offer on many occasions, and each time I've been told, don't bother. If it's not 100%, we'd rather have nothing. So you tell me, Tony. I don't know what else I can do.
Pat, when you sit down with folks when trying to decide who's going to do the work, and I know that they have to bid on this process, do you negotiate? Is there a union wage set in stone, or can you go, look, why don't I meet you halfway? This is what I wanted to pay. This is what you wanted to pay. Let's meet halfway. Does that type of negotiation ever go on?
Yeah, I mean, you put the plans and specs out there and say, oh, how many bricks are we going to have and how much concrete, and you figure out the bids come in and you say, you know, it's a $200,000 job. You know, if your bid's at 270, I don't know if we can, you know, do the job, or if it's at 180, you try to figure out in today's economic world, trying to get financing is very difficult. So numbers need to be tight and they need to be efficient in order to even make the project viable. And if they're out of whack, there's no project.
So what happens now? Do you sue? Do you let the project go and move on to other things? What does Pat Gillespie and the Gillespie Group do?
Well, it was turned down last night, and we just lost out on $2 million worth of incentives. So I mean, the project can't move forward. It's a parking lot, and it will remain a parking lot for the foreseeable future. I don't know what else they want on the site. They did not give me any direction of of what I could do differently. They didn't say we want a taller building, or we want you to ask for less money, or we want more landscaping or more greenscape. They just said we don't want it because of the amount of labor that you have on it. So I don't know what to do. I don't know what else they would want there besides housing on the river. I thought that's what the city's plan was, is to have housing there. That's what it's been for the last 2 years as part of our development agreement. And to say this is, we're not interested in having it now, I don't know what should go on that parking lot site. Right now it's a rather ugly old parking lot with some building shells on it, and I'd much rather see housing on there. So I don't, right now, you know, the project's dead. I don't know where we go from here.
Pat, going through this process, what's this make you think about doing future deals in Lansing, and what does I wonder what other developers will think?
Well, I've had calls from developers all over the city, from Grand Rapids, Kalamazoo, and they are laughing at us, and they're saying Lansing's closed for business. I have three other projects we're working on right now in the city of Lansing, and we're meeting this morning at 10 o'clock to see what our options are to locate them to other areas. It's just frustrating. I'm born and raised right here in Lansing. We made our long-range plan. The next 10 years is to do 90% of our projects in Lansing. And to be told, you know, we're not interested in your Armory project, and we're not interested in the Marketplace project. I mean, if we can't get projects approved as you know, local people, local developers that have a passion for our town, how's an outsider going to come in and want to invest in our town?
So
message has been sent loud and clear.
So what you're saying is that this deal going awry is putting other deals in jeopardy?
Oh, it already has. We've had calls from a couple developers that you'll probably hear from in the next couple days that have major projects downtown that have said, if this is the case moving forward, count us out. So, this will have monster ripple effects. It already has.
All right, Pat, thanks so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Tony. Have a good one.